Your Sunday fun day just got a whole lot more fun. It's Frank and Kathy on WGN Radio right now.
Hey, everybody.
To keep my hands on myself.
I just laugh every time I hear Ashley's voice, don't you?
Well, that's not nice to say.
No, in a good way. It makes me, like, jolly and happy.
Oh, yeah, because she's awesome.
She is totally awesome.
Love her.
How are you today, Kathy?
Fantastic.
Yeah?
How about you?
I'm good.
Are you nervous?
I'm a little nervous, but excited more than nervous.
Well, we've got Dr. Darren Weissman in the studio,
yes,
and
sir.
He does something called the Lifeline Technique. We're going to talk to him in just a mere second. I know that everybody's getting ready for the holidays. You said you went to the Magnificent Mile Light Festival last night?
I did. It was pretty awesome. I took the family down. My wife's friend and her husband, they work at the old Chicago Fire Water Building down mm-hmm. there. The one that was left standing, the only structure.
Oh, the one that survived.
I was almost more impressed with the building itself and the water factory.
Yeah.
It's insane.
And the whole history.
The history is great.
Wow. What a neat perspective.
In the lobby, they have, I don't know if you know this, but the old systems that they used to pump the water through were actually hollowed out logs.
Oh, wow. Well, it was a long time
ago. Little known fact.
Ah.
Yeah. I thought maybe that would like erode or, you know, moisture and mold,
yeah,
and
something
like that. But anyway, it was a great night. The kids absolutely loved it. They got to see Mickey and Santa, and where we were positioned, all the windows were facing Michigan Ave. So it's always an amazing event.
It is a great event.
We went there like 3 years ago, but to see it this close, different story.
Yeah, I went with my kids every year, and I'm going to be totally honest and say I kind of don't miss it. It was so many years of being like super cold and the kids were whiny and
yeah.
there's a lot of good that goes with it. But the older you get, then it's like, oh, been there, done that. I'm so glad I can just be home on my couch.
Well, and it was such a cluster to get down there too. Like
right.
That's the most stressful thing. And we, in a panic, we were on State and Grand. And it was gridlock. My wife's like, we're never going to make it. We have to be there by 4:30. Doors are going to close. So we pulled into a valet. And it was literally 5-7 blocks of walking with my daughter on my shoulder. Shoes that were hurting.
Oh.
You know. So by the time I get there, it's like, I needed a cocktail. I had a cocktail. I felt better.
So it's one of the reasons Dr. Darren Weissman is in the studio. Because the holidays are coming up. And we're going to be spending a lot of time with family. We're going to have a lot of stress coming up. And family can be the source of so much love. And they can be the source of a messed up life.
You're going to say pain. Just say it. A lot of pain.
Pain for sure, too. So we want to welcome Dr. Darren Weissman. He's featured in the documentary Heal, also a best-selling Hay House author, developer of the Lifeline Technique. His passion is teaching people how to intentionally change the emotional programs of the subconscious mind. So we're going to go pretty deep, aren't we?
Yeah, we're going to go wherever we need to go today.
Well,
okay.
Before we jump into it, because I volunteered myself as a test subject here, and I purposely tried to not do a ton of research on this, because I want to be open-minded, not have any predisposed, you know,
right.
like thoughts on it. So why don't we, you know, for me and the rest of the people listening, what is the Lifeline Technique?
The Lifeline Technique is a system that helps us when we're in those moments of emotion that everybody has, those lows of feeling frustrated and judging ourselves, triggered into anger, where we're feeling insecure or struggling with worry or anxiety, or even those beliefs that we have where we're thinking, oh, I'm not enough, I'm not good enough, and maybe someone else can, but not for me. When we get caught in these patterns, the Lifeline helps us to shift these emotions, these limiting beliefs, so that we discover what I like to call a gift in strange wrapping paper, that our body is an expression of our mind, and our relationships and the patterns of behavior that get triggered in us are also a feedback. They're not a failure. We're not in a fight with something. So we look at, in the Lifeline Technique, everything that looks like a problem, smells like a problem, it's not a problem, it's a portal, a doorway to the next greatest version of ourself, and that version lives in our subconscious mind.
Okay, so that sounds like really deep, and you really, in an ADD society,
yeah.
you really have to pay attention to what you're saying to understand it.
Yeah, it's a new paradigm, really.
And
you went through it, Kath.
I did. So I'll explain it just from my perspective,
yeah.
and let me know if I'm, you know, completely lost my mind. Although you did help me to, like, get some of that back. So it allows you to understand why you make some of the decisions in your spouses, listen to me, because they're plural for me.
How many do you have?
I've had a few. Relationships. Let's just say relationships.
Yeah.
Some things that might be happening in your subconscious mind from your childhood that you weren't even aware of that are affecting your life decisions. And that unbeknownst to you, you get triggered by them. And that's how you respond to certain situations, whether it's choosing a relationship, getting into a relationship, or how you handle stressful situations in life. Like one of the reasons I came to see you is to understand why I needed validation for everything. If I didn't get validation from my coworker, my spouse, my parents, then it was devastating to me. And you helped me figure that out.
Yeah, and you got to appreciate that wasn't you, that was a part of you that was struggling in needing validation. And that's the hard part for all of us, is that the subconscious is invisible. It's invisible. Mm-hmm. So it's like, wait, where is it? What is it? What role does it play in the health of my body, in my behavior, and in the choices that I'm making?
And so for me, we found out it was, and it was through this kinesiology that you'll explain.
He did it to me back there. It's crazy.
So it's muscle testing. It's kinesiology. And through this, you helped me figure out that at the age of 4, I had some things happening in my family life that was the result of everything moving forward and why I needed my validation.
Yeah.
So we figured out it was from that age.
And more importantly, we figured out where that pattern was coming from, but we set an intention and we guided this reactive part of ourself to react differently rather than a fear-based way, in a love and gratitude way.
So basically, you do something with the subconscious mind that we really don't understand, other than it works.
Well, muscle memory, I'm sure, is a part of that when you're talking about kinesiology, right? And you did this to me in the green room. I went to go talk to the doctor before air, and he's like, here, try this. So he lines me up, and he says, tuck your elbow into your side and hold it upright like you're holding a bucket with a puppy in it that you don't want to drop. So he pushed down my arm and says, you know, say love 3 times, love, love, love. And he pushes my arm down. And it was firm. You know, I'm a strong guy. I work out all the time.
Yeah.
And then he said, say the word fear 3 times, fear, fear, fear. And same amount of tension I had. And he's pushing my arm as if it's like no tension.
It's bizarre.
It is bizarre.
It's I'm like, so bizarre.
We all have reflexes. There's trillions of reflexes in the body. The reflexes are controlled by the nervous system. So if we have a way to have a feedback through the nervous system, we're able to access that subconscious mind and get it to be a tool, rather than most people's subconscious mind is a tormentor. How to shift that tormenting mind into something that turns into something really positive.
It's so bizarre and it's so deep, and I just have faith that because clearly it worked for me, and it works for so many other people in healing the subconscious mind. Frank, are you ready to be healed?
I'm totally ready to be healed, and I think the world is, and we talked about this as well off mic, that it's not just one person, it's not one thing, it's the entire universe right now is on fire in a way that is causing people to have such turbulence. And, you know, we do have to take responsibility for our stuff, but collectively, the energetic. And we'll get deeper into this when we come back. The texts are already coming in. 312-981-7200 is the number here. We want you guys engaged, involved, calling in. We are going to help you. Maybe Dr. Darren will get down to the bottom through his lifeline technique of your issues. Already getting some texts in, Doc, that we'll save until we come back. And maybe you can answer a few questions right off the bat.
Sounds great.
All right, we'll be right back. Welcome back to the Sunday Funday Show. It's Kathy Hart, Frank Fontana. Some deep stuff about to go down in this studio.
Oh, yeah.
Dr. Darren Weissman is joining us, author, speaker, creator of the Lifeline Technique. Kathy's experienced this. I, my friends listening, I'm about to do this on air.
Yeah, and you can watch live too, WGNradio.com. Can you tell my hesitancy? I'm like, wait, what is it?
Yeah.
WGNradio.com/
watch.
Watch.
And you can also listen if you do not have access to a device, and you're listening to a phone or whatever. But call us too. 312-981-7200 is the number. Dr. Darren will be doing Lifeline sessions on the phone today during this show. So we advise, if you want to try this out, you can listen to me first and go through. I'm going to be really honest and authentic. And
I'm proud of you.
Sorry if I'm going to offend anybody.
This is pretty brave to do this live. So
All right, let's get to it.
You ready, Dr. Darren?
Yeah, let's do this.
And you brought tools.
Yeah, we got tools.
Oh, my God. It's got a hatchet.
See, you should be happy. Frank, he has tools.
Yeah, good, good.
Two guys and their tools.
So, Frank, biggest thing here is the primary philosophy of the Lifeline is that there are no problems. There are only portals. Okay.
And what do you mean by that?
That portals are a doorway, and it's a doorway into the next greatest version of you. That what you feel stuck or struggling in patterns of stress in your life, in your relationships, in your health, this is an intelligent conversation, and it's coming from the subconscious mind. So I'm going to have you begin just by observing your body, in observing what way your body is speaking to you. What about your health that if you could change something in your health, really, and be honest, that's the key. Honesty is the doorway to the subconscious mind. What way is your body speaking to you, Frank?
I mean, in terms of physical ailments and manifesting?
Yeah.
So
you want bigger muscles?
No,
sorry, I'm not helping. I'll just sit back.
So, you know, I think it's stress more than anything. And that's manifesting in, you know, elevated, you know, blood pressure. I'm getting these like broken blood vessels in my eye. Can't sleep well at night. And what most would consider, you know, somewhat normal life stresses, kids, relationships, money, all that kind of stuff. But it's taken its toll a little bit.
So let me ask you a question. When it comes to your health and having high blood pressure and blood vessels popping in your eyes, challenging sleeping at night, if you were to rate this on a scale of 0 to 10, 0 is nothing, 10 is get me off the planet, one-way ticket to the moon, just to appreciate where you're at, what do you rate it?
Probably like a 6.5, 7.
Cool. Now, I'm going to have you connect to your life, and life's all about relationships. We have all kinds of relationships. We have family relationships, personal relationships, professional. And tune into what relationships in your life trigger stress. You'll notice your mind has already gone there.
Yep.
And the key here, more than anything, is we want to bring up and out our emotions. This is not therapy. It's therapeutic, but it's not therapy. So can you just give me a topic? I don't want to hear a whole story about it. Can you just give me a topic of what's happening? Just a topic.
Challenging relationships.
Okay. So as you tune into the challenging relationships and you think about what's going on, what's happening, what hasn't happened, what continues to happen, what emotion do you feel as you're connecting to these challenging relationships? What emotion does it bring up for you?
Fear.
Fear. And as you acknowledge this fear and you understand what the fear is all about.
Yes.
What do you rate that fear in a scale 0 to 10? Once again, be honest with yourself.
10.
10 means get me off the planet.
Maybe 8.
Okay.
Maybe 8,
so 8 is very significant, right?
Not
so,
quite off the planet.
Right, exactly. What other emotion besides fear?
Sadness.
Sadness. And as you acknowledge the sadness, what do you rate the sadness? 0 to 10.
8.
What other emotion besides sadness and fear?
Anger.
Anger. And as you acknowledge that anger, and whether it be expressed or internalized anger, what do you rate this anger?
Probably like 7.
7. So there's a whole bunch of different emotions here. Now, what we find in the Lifeline is that it's really easy to judge ourselves, to judge our life, to judge other people, to judge our body, but judgment won't do anything to move you forward. So we ask something that we call the $1 million question here. It's the truth question. Let's see if it's your truth, Frank. If you were given the opportunity where you could create your life, a day or even a moment in time, would you choose to create it where your relationships were challenging on any level, let alone that they cause you to feel fear 8 out of 10, sadness 8 out of 10, anger 7 out of 10, no extra charge, we're going to throw in high blood pressure, blood vessels popping in your eyes, and having trouble sleeping at night. Would you choose to create your life feeling this way?
No.
The answer is hell no.
No.
The answer is hell no.
What does it mean that my right rear shoulders twitching at the moment?
Well, you know what? We're literally we are activating the subconscious, and things are going to be moving now. So one of the things is when you're aware, you're conscious, and you have a choice. And when you're aware of things that you would never choose, of course not, duh. That's not the active mind. That's the reactive mind. This is a subconscious part of you. The key here is I've got great news. You have a choice in how you respond. You don't have a choice. It's happening. It's happening. But you do have a choice in how you respond. Take your hand in this I love you posture. This means I love you in American Sign Language. Put it over your heart center because inside your heart there's greatness, there's power, uh-huh. There's confidence, there's passion. And you got a menu of infinite possibilities. Fear is going to say, make this go away. Avoid that. Love's going to say, I'm moving in the direction of authenticity. This is what I desire. When it comes to your relationships, and you know the relationships I'm talking about, what does your heart desire to feel?
Love.
Love.
Peace.
Come up with a word and think about this person, this relationship. What word best describes what your heart desires to feel?
Love.
Cool. Now we make our intention because we want the subconscious mind to follow us. And so if we want it to follow us, then we want to lead it to the summit. We want to lead it to the highest point as if we're already there. And if you're already there, you could say, I am love. Go ahead and say, I am love.
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 And as you acknowledge, Frank, what it means for you to be love, to think love thoughts, to feel love feelings, to speak love words to yourself and others, to attract love relationships, it's powerful, isn't it?
Yes.
Are you open, ready, and willing to use your I am love imagination?
Yes.
Breathe it in. Breathe it out. Go into your body and feel love being breathed into every cell. Put the I am love expression on your face and see yourself showing up in your life where you are love. And you are inspiring love right now to so many people that are listening, to the most important relationships that have been stressful, that relationship now is the highest vibration of I am love.
Aww.
How does it feel to imagine I am love?
Really good. Genuinely really good.
Much better than fear.
Totally.
Yeah.
Where are you feeling that really good feeling?
Right in my heart.
Mm-hmm. Do you know what that is?
Vibrational energy.
It is medicine. It's your cells producing a chemical that give you that really good feeling in your heart. And it's a sign that the love's already there. Now, here's the thing. I'm going to be using muscle testing with myself to discover what subconscious part of you is broadcasting this signal. So, first and foremost, you have in your heart chakra, it's the center of your chest, which is interesting that you feel it there. You have a core limiting belief in your heart chakra. When it gets triggered, rather than being able to love yourself, love others, be loved by others, you judge yourself first and fully. And then it creates a whole drama, trauma pattern in your life and relationships. This affects you in what's called your water element in Chinese medicine.
Hold that thought.
Okay.
I don't want to cut you off, but unfortunately, we do have to go to a break. And what we're going to do is we're going to be live on Instagram, live on WGNradio.com/watch. Go over to @FrankFontana on Instagram. You can follow this procedure going on right now, this technique that's going to happen. We'll continue it through the break and through news, and then we'll come back and then take your calls, 312-981-7200.
Yes. If you're willing to do this with Dr. Darren and do this live on the air with him and help you out, get some stuff figured out from your past or whatever it may be, 312-981-7200. Are we on? Oh, they're continuing their session.
Yeah,
Frank and Dr. Darren Weissman. Infinite love and gratitude. I love this. All right, the Steve Cochran Show celebrates the most valuable person on the planet weekday mornings at 720 on 720 WGN Chicago. Smart speaker users, just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. The news is sponsored by TreeTime.com. It's 131. Here's Pam Jones.
Welcome back to the show, folks. I'm feeling like a different person. Kathy Hart, you just turned me on to something really interesting here.
It's pretty intense. Like, yeah. I've had a couple sessions in the first one, and Dr. Darren, please don't take offense to this, but it was almost too much. It was like, whoa, this is so deep, and I don't understand this. And I think that's the problem. I
Portal.
Don't necessarily want to say problem, right? A lot of people just don't understand because it's not something tangible. Like, they can't see it.
Well, we're used to fixing things. We're used to fighting things. We're used to, like, judging ourselves and defining ourselves as things. And when we're doing this, when we go deep, this is getting us to shift our perception. When we change the way we view things, the things that we view begin to change. And this helps us shift from a reactive fear-based lens to a self-love-based lens.
Well, and I think a lot of it is because you understand where it's coming from. When I realized it was because when I was 4 years old, I needed validation for various reasons. Then in my current life, when I so desperately wanted validation for things and didn't get it, instead of fighting it and being upset about it, I understood it and I changed my reaction to it.
Yeah.
312-981-7200 is the phone number. We're taking your calls. Dr. Darren Weissman is here from Lifeline Technique to give you guys some reprieve from life like he did for me. Let's take our first call. We got Jennifer on the line.
Jennifer.
Thanks for...
Yes. I'm here.
Turn your radio down
in the
background.
Oh, shut the radio off. Okay. Just a second real quickly.
No worries.
Yeah, because that echoes
okay,
throws
off.
Awesome.
Okay, you there?
Are you there?
Yeah. We still hear the radio in the back.
No, just shut it off.
All right, well, we'll give it a shot. Let's get Darren and Jennifer connected. We're going to give you a moment here.
Yeah, so Jennifer, tell me what's going on that you'd like to create a shift with.
Well, similarly, like a very toxic relationship, and it's a really, you know, love-hate with a brother who I have extremely long history of being what I consider abused by. Sued me twice, lost twice, things like that. And I'm a practicing Catholic, so I try very hard to overcome these things. I read a lot of Hay House works. I, you know, try and get my energy.
Let me ask you a question, Jennifer.
The mass and try and get my head in the right place. So I
and I'm so inspired by you that you're actually leaning into it and doing positive things for yourself. But I got a question for you. What emotion do you feel when you're connecting to the brother that was abusive? That's a toxic love hate relationship. What emotion does that cause you to feel as you're connecting to him?
Well, I have some very important legal issues that I want to take action against.
Right, and as you're observing the legal issues, because I don't, rather than getting into the story, we're going to take inventory.
Okay.
Look at it that way. No, no story here. Inventory.
Sorrow. Sorrow is what I feel because.
What do you rate the sorrow on a scale of 0 to 10? 10's the worst, 0's nothing.
It's off the map. It's like 11, 12, 13.
Well, 10 means death is better. I mean, would you? Are you? Do I have to worry about you and call the police right now? I mean, literally.
No,
so you can't say it's off the map then. What do you rate it?
10.
No. Do you understand that? 10 means I'm one way ticket.
Death.
Yeah, prefers death. So,
if she's really feeling that, I mean,
well, I mean, if you're, do you have a note right now that you've written and you're about to ace yourself from this world?
Oh no.
Okay.
I it's so complex. I don't know how to manage it. You know, I don't know how to manage it. Although, you know, it's a real. All I can tell you is that it's very sorrowful. You know?
I understand. What do you rate it though, sweetheart? 10's the worst. 0's nothing.
All right, at least 7.
Good job. And would you choose to create your life? Would you choose to create a day or a moment, let alone with your brother? Would you choose to create it feeling sorrow on any level, let alone a 7 out of 10, abuse, toxic relationships? Would you ever choose this?
No.
The answer is hell no, not a chance.
Hell no.
So we know that this is a reactive part of you that is being triggered. And as much as this is a horrible situation that you're in and that you have to make tough decisions, your choice is not that it's happening. Your choice is how you respond. And I invite you to connect to your beautiful, loving heart. And when it comes to your best self, remember this, Jennifer. Focus where you're going, not what you want to get away from. What does your heart desire to feel?
Safety.
Good one. I like that word.
I invite you to repeat, I am safety.
I am safety.
I am safety.
I am safety.
And I got a question right now, Jennifer. Are you open, ready, and willing to use your I am safety imagination?
Sure.
Are you ready to use your full Walt Disney imagination?
Yeah.
Go into your imagination and see yourself being the Jennifer who is I am safety. It's how you think, it's how you feel, it's how you speak, and here you are in the future, and your life is the fullest manifestation of I am safety. How does it feel in your heart to imagine? Breathe it in. Pay attention to your body. How does it feel to imagine I am safety?
Renewed.
That's so awesome.
Good.
Yeah. That renewed feeling lets you know that the safety is already inside of you. Otherwise, you wouldn't have been able to feel that renewed feeling. So it's already inside of you. And here's the thing. Jennifer, you've got a core limiting belief inside of what's called your throat chakra. And the throat chakra is all about communication. It's about dialogue. It's about how to create healthy boundaries using your words. And there's a part of you who is in a reactive dynamic of communication that when you get triggered, all you can see, feel, and hear is overwhelmed, buildup of conflicting emotions, longing for what might have been, and resentment. That's what's called, I call that an attractor field. You've got a magnet. And it stems from when you were a little girl at 7 years of age. At 7, you were in an emotionally reactive environment. Things that were going on, people were reactively communicating, not listening, trauma in that way. And at 7, you didn't have the consciousness to say, I'm safety feeling renewed, I'm speaking my truth, I'm creating healthy boundaries. And your environment couldn't guide you in a way that they didn't know.
And folks, we do apologize for a little bit of an echo. We're having some technical difficulty here. But hopefully you can manage to hear what's going on here.
Well, maybe we can pull Jennifer down. I think that's what's going to take that echo away. And then you can just continue to talk to Jennifer.
Beautiful. And so, Jennifer, take a moment right now and connect to the 7-year-old who's in an environment where your mom and dad's relationship is being now repeated later in life.
Mm.
The buildup of conflicting emotions, longing for what might have been, resentment, overwhelmed. And I invite you to repeat, I am safety.
I am safety.
I am safety.
For the very first time.
For the very first time.
Now.
Now.
And I'm owning my power.
And I'm owning my power.
By loving the past part of me.
By loving the past part of me.
Who's been programmed.
Who's been programmed.
To forget.
To forget.
And never choose.
And never choose.
Until right now.
Until right now.
I'm choosing to feel renewed.
I'm choosing to feel renewed.
Infinite love and gratitude.
Instant love and gratitude.
I'm choosing to feel renewed.
I'm choosing to feel renewed.
I am feeling renewed.
I am feeling renewed.
Infinite love and gratitude.
Instant love and gratitude.
Good job. I am renewed.
I am renewed.
I am safety.
I am safety.
This is my nature.
This is my nature.
Infinite love and gratitude.
Infinite love and gratitude.
Beautiful. And I want to welcome the 7-year-old to her fullest potential of safety, where she has a voice and a choice to create healthy boundaries. Take a deep breath, Jennifer. Let it go. Welcome home. Good landing. Now just take a moment, Jennifer, and observe how it feels to be present in the space that you're in. Observe how it feels to be in your body. Scan your body. I have a question, Jennifer. What word best describes being present right now in your body, in the room that you're in? What word best describes it for you?
Curious.
Mm-hmm. And I have a question. As you tune into your brother and the patterns that have been going on, we always ask the same question here. Does that feel the same to you right now?
Well, not exactly, no.
What about, what about it feels different?
Well, there's. I have to level with you. There's still that fear factor.
I know, but what about it feels different?
Yeah, I'm sort of mentally prepping myself if an encounter occurs to just feel as safe as possible around them.
Good.
You're awesome, Jennifer. Well, you just shifted, and you know what? Mentally prep yourself and use your consciousness to speak your truth and create healthy boundaries. You keep shining bright, Jennifer.
Thanks, Jennifer. We appreciate the call. And, Doc, how can people find you? We'll keep you around for sure. Right? Do you want to do one more caller? We have another call. It's up to you.
Yeah, we can do that off the air, if that's okay.
Yeah, it's great.
Sure.
But, yeah, at Dr. Darren Weissman on social media, correct?
Yeah.
And thelifelinecenter.com.
Yeah.
Can we give some stuff away?
Yeah, let's do it.
What do you want to give away?
How about my first book, The Power of Infinite Love and Gratitude?
Nice. I like that she was saying instant, because that's kind of true, too.
Everybody wants it to be instant. Yeah, yeah.
Sure, or infinite. Okay, fantastic. So let's do that. We'll take caller 10 right now. 312-981-7200 if you want to win that book.
Thanks, Doc. Appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you.
We'll be right back. Woo! Hey, Kath. What's going on?
That was so fun. I don't know if anybody was watching online
or listening, but
what was that?
We got possessed.
Some music. It's Mercury in retrograde. I don't know.
We stirred up some stuff.
It was
Dr. Darren.
So now we had to move into another studio. This is like the big studio where
this is the big studio.
A lot of people, including myself, didn't realize that you have multiple studios here at WGN.
Multiple, and across from us here, we have a sound stage where bands can play live.
Yeah. So now we're in like, I feel like a perfect analogy is Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
We were at the kids' table in that other studio, and the table broke.
Totally.
So we got to go sit at the adults' table.
Yeah.
And that's
yeah.
where we are now. So we changed studios, and of course, me being just me, I'm looking up at the cameras to see if we're live. And so you guys are all like being serious. Okay, what are we talking about next? Did we play commercials? And I'm waving to myself to see if
at
I can see
at the monitor.
Me.
Yeah. Hi, Kath. We can see you. Yeah, sorry for that brief little blip that happened there digital. You know, you work in the digital world, and that's what happens sometimes.
Yep.
But anyway, the show must go on.
It must. And you can hear the sounds that matter, the top 5 at 5 from the Ro Khan Show with Anna DeVlantis, weekday afternoons on 720 WGN Chicago. Smart speaker users, just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. The news is sponsored by Team Huckberg at Pearl Mortgage. It's 1:59. Here's Pam Jones.
Welcome back to the show. It's Sunday
Lizzie
Fun
comes
Day.
With two younger siblings, Juan and Lita.
Wait, so we would have
Three children.
Oh, two maybe, but there's no way we can do three. I mean, that was, wow. We wanted to meet them. Oh my gosh.
Oh my.
Why would you show us that? Why would you even show that? They're so cute. That's wrong.
What happened?
Mom,
oh, it's okay. Hold on, I'm gonna fix you, okay?
Here you go.
Thanks, Daddy.
Did you hear that? I just got my first daddy.
You suck! No fair! I want some of that!
Hey, honey, Lita, can I help you with anything?
Is this that kid, Jacob?
Hey, I saw the picture you sent for Jacob.
You're lucky I'll end your life right now, Carrot Top.
We're gonna call your mom.
You're going down today.
So what do you think of that, Jacob?
My name's not Jacob.
What?
Okay.
What you're hearing are clips from that movie,
Instant Family
with Mark Wahlberg. It looks hilarious. I haven't seen it. You've seen it, right?
I went to go see it, yeah. And Rose Byrne, she's hilarious. These two are perfect. Mark Wahlberg is very much like his character in Daddy's Home, if you've seen any of those movies.
Yeah, I have, actually.
Those clips are even funnier now that I've seen the movie. And as an adoptive mom, now I adopted my son when he was 3 months old. I can't imagine what it's like adopting a teenager.
A tween or a teen? Oh my gosh.
With the two younger kids. But yeah. What I really liked about this movie is it was real. They brought up some really awkward situations that adoptive parents experience.
Which resonated with you, I'm sure, right? I mean, some of these moments.
Yeah.
How old is your son?
He's almost 11 now.
11, okay.
Yeah, so we adopted him at 3 months, and I adopted him through the cradle in Evanston. And it was, first of all, that moment, I don't want to do this, because every time I tell the story, I cry, and I'm going to try not to do that. But it's just, there we go. So
That's sweet, though.
Well, it's just, they prep you so much with classes on what to expect, and people are going to say things that are just unbelievably rude, more just out of curiosity and ignorance.
Sure.
But so they just prep you for everything. But the thing that they didn't or they can't prep you for is that moment when you're in the room with the birth mother and she's holding her baby and she gives that baby to you.
Ugh.
And like, you've taken all these classes and you think you're ready for it. But my husband and I looked at each other and it takes a lot for me to be speechless. And we didn't know what to say, because that exact moment where she handed him to us, I think you just seemed grossly inadequate. And
that was the actual birth mother.
Yes, the birth mother. So it's an open adoption.
Okay.
So we're aware of the birth mother, and during the whole process, she chooses the parents that she wants based on these books that we put together. And so it was so touching, but man, my heart went out to her, because for all the women that have ever given up a baby, clearly words just can't say thank you enough. You can't express your gratitude for their selflessness.
Did you feel a little guilt in that at all?
In just that I felt like I was taking her baby away.
That's what I mean. I can imagine that.
And then it inspires you even more to just give that baby their best possible life. So some of the things they talk about in the movie is...
Hold on, can I just ask
just
you one
so
quick question?
So real. What? Okay, yeah,
I know,
let me take a deep breath.
I'm not trying to keep you crying, but... because I never heard you tell me this story, by the way. It's the first time I'm here, and I'm welling up listening to you and watching you. Why? Why did she have to give that child up?
There were a lot of personal reasons.
Do you find out why?
Yeah. We share that story, and she just had a lot of things going on in her life. And,
okay.
So it's a story that we can share with our son.
Sure.
You know, we've shared the story when he was old enough to figure out. He's African American, so clearly it didn't take long to figure out mom and dad. Like,
right. Yeah.
What's different here?
Sure.
So it's just. And
was she crying too, giving the child to you?
Not as much as we were, because we were just blabbering and
sure. Yeah, the new parent thing, too. And yeah.
Yeah, we all... Well, I have an older biological son and daughter, and they were in the room with us as well. So we're all just crying like idiots. And, you know, we hugged the birth mom, and wow, it was one of the most intense things I've ever experienced in my life. And adoption is something... I think that's probably another reason I got so emotional, is because... It's something I've wanted to do since I was a little girl. I couldn't figure out why people were having babies, and they addressed this in the movie, when there's so many kids in foster care. So when I was at that age, when I didn't realize that, you know, women want to have biological children, I'm like, why are mommies having babies when there's so many babies that don't have homes? Like, they're in this place with no mommy and daddy. So why don't you just go get one of them instead of bring a new child into the... That was my mindset at the time. So ever since then, I wanted to be an adoptive mom.
And did you walk, like the movie, they kind of walk into a field full of kids.
A festival,
an adoption festival. And folks, we would love to hear from you. 312-981-7200. Are you an adopted child that is now an adult and went through this experience? Are you considering adoption? Love to hear your stories. 312-981-7200. So Kath, when you wanted to say picked out your child, was it...
Well, we didn't. Through the cradle, what they do is you put this book together, and it's basically your whole life, and then they'll share that with the birth parents, and then the birth parents look through all these different journals, and they find what they feel will be the best parents for their child. And with our birth mother, she was interested in her son being with a brother and sister. And so I already had a biological son and daughter, so there was kind of this built-in family.
Sure.
And so she wanted her son to be around a brother and sister. Yeah. And so that's what we had. But one of the controversies with this movie, Instant Family, is that with foster kids, sometimes they have a foster fair. And it's a little awkward because basically you go to this festival where there's all these foster kids and you meet them, and it's almost like you pick one. And they address this in the movie, and I think they addressed it very just honestly, because there was one scene, and I even feel guilty about laughing about it, but Mark Wahlberg and Rose Byrd, their character, they went and they saw this little boy and they were talking to him, and this other adoptive parent couple, they come running up and like, no, he's ours. We saw him first. You get away. And that's...
Does that happen?
I don't know, because I've never been to one of these.
I gotta imagine it does.
The awkwardness is something that they handled in this movie, I think, with comedy. And it was just... It was very real. And I was surprised that they went there with a few of the situations that they did.
Did it relate to hit home big for you?
Yeah. In many, many ways. And they also just, it's so heartwarming too at times. Like, I laughed, and I laughed out loud, and I also cried during the movie.
Well, listen, when we come back, we're going to take your calls. We have Mary's holding for us. 312-981-7200. If you've been through adoption, have you recently adopt? Are you an adopted child that love to share your story? We'd love to hear from you. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to the Sunday Funday Show. Kathy Hart, Frank Fontana here, talking about that fantastic movie that just came out called Instant Family with Mark Wahlberg and
Rose Byrne. Hilarious. Also, I want to say that Octavia Spencer is in it. Fantastic. Tig Notaro, she steals this movie. She's one of the social workers. And Joan Cusack has a cameo in it.
Chicago's own.
Yep. Yep.
All right, we got some calls coming in. 312-981-7200 is our number here. Let's talk to Peggy. Hey, Peggy, what's your adoption story?
Well, I come from a family of 11, and when there were only four of us...
Kathy just fainted.
11?
Hold on.
11?
Yeah.
Whoa.
But 10 of us are natural, and my youngest sister is adopted. When there were four of us, my parents took in a foster child, and when her natural mother was able to take her back, it was devastating to us.
Wow.
So they didn't do it again until they had 10 kids, and my mom still had that drive. So they took in a foster child that was 10 months old, And as soon as she was signed away that she could be adopted, my parents adopted her, and she is 100% as much a sister to me as my other six, and is one of the most caring and nurturing of our 97-year-old mother than you could ever believe.
Whoa.
Much more than some other siblings. it's fantastic.
That's a great story.
I highly recommend it, yeah.
Peggy, I just have a quick question. I have trouble with two kids. 11 children. God. What in God's name would, and God bless your mother. I mean, what amazing woman. Is that just genetic? Is that inherent that you are just that mom that just can keep going and going?
It comes from being very good practicing Catholics.
Yeah.
And that's the way it was done back then. And our neighborhood was full of families of 8, 9, and 12. And it was, it was a neat time. And it certainly didn't kill my mother. I'm just coming from visiting her. She still lives in her own home at 97.
Wow.
So.
Wow, she's a special person. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that story, Peggy.
Thanks, Peggy. Appreciate
You're
it.
Love
it. Have a great one. Have a good holiday,
Bye-bye.
Too. You know, you got to bottle some of Peggy's mom's juice somehow.
No kidding.
More people need that. I need that.
Wow.
I need an intravenous. All right, let's talk to Mary. Hey, Mary, thanks for calling the show.
Or Marie.
Hi.
Marie.
Is it Marie?
Hi. Yes, it's Marie. Hi. I am adopted. I was adopted in the 50s, and it was at 1.5, and it was an abuse and neglect situation. And I was put into an orphanage, and my mom and dad found out that I was up for adoption, and they kind of knew the area that I had lived in and heard from people there that I had been put up for adoption. And they petitioned to adopt me, and they were able to do that. But as I grew older, married, and had a daughter, I was always, I never knew medical history, and I wanted that for her. I wanted to knew my husband's side, but I didn't know my side. And the biggest thing that I wanted to do is to let my biological mother know that she did the best she could do, because I know she was probably wondering, and letting her know that she did the best by giving me up for adoption and letting me go with the family that loved me, and here I am fine, and everything's fine. So her heart probably was very heavy until that point. So I felt that was a good thing to do, and I did that. And it was a situation where maybe she wanted to start some ties up again, but I didn't want to do that. And I never told my mom and dad that I went, because I thought it would break their heart. But they always told me what my last name was, and so that's how I was able to find things on my own and do that. But that's my story.
So let me ask a question, Marie, because so many people want the same thing. They're wondering what it's going to be like when you meet your mom, and so many adoptive people that I've talked to don't want to ever meet their parents because they're still upset that they were given up for adoption, not understanding the story behind why they were given up for adoption. Were you always able to understand that, or did it take you a while to understand it and figure out why you were given up for adoption?
Well, I knew why. My mother and father told me, I guess my mother couldn't get a babysitter or anything. She was foreign, and I was left alone and would be crying, and so the neighbors reported it, and the sheriff came and took me, and put me into custody. But you have to think about all those situations, and you do the best for what you can do. I mean, it was not like she beat me or anything, or she was, it's just that she didn't have the wherewithal to, to provide for me.
She couldn't take care of you,
So that's what happened. And then later on, I found out that my biological father, she did tell me who that was, and I tried to look him up, and he denied everything, so we won't go any further with that. But, it is what it is. I mean, you pray to God, and you say, hey, I understand this. Please forgive these people. Whatever helped them in their lives. She's doing better, I think, now. I have brothers and sisters. That's when I first met my husband. I said, are you Italian? Where are you from?
Oh, no, because
we started getting serious. But I have brothers and sisters all over the United States that I have not met, half brothers and sisters. So I don't know. I was going to do that, genetics.com or whatever.
Oh, right, 23andMe or whatever.
Sometimes you run across the matches, and then people come back and say, oh, I think I'm your half-brother.
Wow. That would be a conundrum if you were actually married to your brother, right, after the fact?
You have to ask, Frank. I mean, think about it, you know.
If you're adopted, yeah.
It's an unusual thing. I mean, I'm like, you know, I'm adopted. I have to know are we related.
Right. Especially in the neighborhood, yeah.
What if 10 years go by and you find out and maybe you are related? What happens then?
God bless you, Kathy, for all, you know, for what you've done. I mean, I think, and to be able to know the mom is a wonderful thing.
Yes.
And that's a great thing because she can see in your heart, and she picked you. And she can see in her heart that her child is going, her biological child is going to grow up with a good family.
Yeah, we text pictures all the time, you know, first day of school, each grade, whatever that we go through. And it is nice to be able to have that connection.
Right?
And yeah, thanks for calling.
Thanks, Marie. We appreciate it. Have a great holiday.
It's interesting. Her story is very similar to Steve Cochran's. I don't know if you know his adoption story.
I didn't know that, no.
He told his adoption story because I know that WGN is working with LetItBeUs.org. Mm-hmm. And so Steve told his story. It's National Adoption Month and the whole thing. And his story is unbelievable.
Can you recap it quick? Because I don't
recall. He found out he was adopted, and for the same reason as Marie, for his own kids, wanted to find out genetics, DNA, medical history. And so he went through the process and first asked his mom and dad if it was okay, because there's that awkwardness.
Sure.
Any adoptive parent worries about their child wanting to go back with their biological parents.
Sure, it's a concern for you as well, right?
Yeah, you just, and of course, every family goes through, I hate you, I want to go back with my real mom.
Ugh, like a knife in the heart.
And yeah, but it's just, I mean, it's part of it, and we understand that, and we understand where it's coming from. So Steve ended up, I forgot where he said he was from, but not this state, another state, and it turns out his biological mom not only was right here in Chicago, she worked at the gift shop at Children's Memorial Hospital.
You're kidding.
And she listened to WGN when Steve was telling the story about wanting to find his biological mother.
I just got chills as you're telling me the story.
It was just, and he tells it much, much better, but basically that's a little bit what it is. And
wow.
There's just so many stories. And it's one of the reasons that maybe if you're thinking about becoming an adoptive parent or fostering, it's something that I've been considering for a long time. There's just been a lot going on in my life, and I'm actually
you would do it again.
Considering bringing in an older because, gosh darn it, I get emotional about this too, because they talk in the movie about these teenagers. It's called aging out.
Yeah.
And once they hit a certain age, then, God, I think the statistics are scary, like 50% end up drugs, getting arrested. Like,
so at 18, do they release them into
terrible.
The world? How does that work?
I'm not positive how it all works, but they do age out, and the older they get, the more difficult it is to go into a foster home. So that's something I'm thinking about doing, because I've survived two teenagers so far, and
God
I'm
bless
still
you,
alive.
Kathy Hart.
So I think.
What's that website? You want to give that out?
Yeah, there's one that I know that they're working with WGN, LetItBeUs.org, and I know with the movie. You can go to instantfamily.com or .org or something.
Just Google it, yeah.
with fostering, and you can get more information. But if you want to have an idea of what foster life is really like, absolutely highly recommend going to see Instant Family. It was hilarious.
Awesome. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll get some news with Pam Jones, and then when we come back, we're going to talk about some Turkey Day fails.
Hmm.
What's been some of your worst stories or best? Maybe we'll, you know, speak to the light side. But let's start with some of the more interesting stories you might have come across.
Yeah, the dark ones are funnier.
Exactly. 312-981-7200 is our number. We'll be right back.
I love to eat turkey, cause it's good. I love to eat turkey like a good boy should, cause it's turkey to eat. So good.
Ah, the great Adam Sandler. Classic Turkey Day song.
The clapping's messing my head up, man.
He's so funny.
He is.
Oh, that's Kathy Hart. I'm Frank Fontana. Welcome to the Sunday Funday Show, which I just coined. I think that's a good
Sunday
name.
Sunday Funday?
Yeah, whatever.
I mean, it rhymes,
it
so
does,
why not?
It does.
And it is fun.
So we're talking about your turkey tales. Hey, Pam Jones, you still there?
And Thanksgiving stories.
And Thanksgiving stories.
Thanksgiving gone bad. They do talk about that a little bit in the Instant Family. They deal with like Thanksgiving and Christmas, and it's pretty funny. I think everybody's got a nightmare Thanksgiving story.
We all
do. Do you have any?
Well, mine revolves around flatulence. There's Pam. Jones. There she is. Not my own personal flatulence. Oh,
well,
but right. Various members of the family, just they're, I don't know, maybe it's the turkey. Maybe we're allergic to turkey or something.
There's so much you're eating, it could be anything.
It could be.
Or some people just wake up and fart, so.
Yeah, but it seems like a thing in our family around Thanksgiving.
And well, lucky you.
It's slightly competitive, I would say.
It's competitive?
Yeah, it's competitive flatulence.
Like you try to art, can I even say fart? Is that, we can say that word, right?
Out fart and burp people? I don't know. I mean, but it's not even like thought out. It's just natural. You know, they lean back, burp, burp, you know, like
so kinda, you're just so comfortable with one another. You
maybe that's what it is.
You yeah, just
I don't,
let it out.
I don't.
Shut
I don't
up.
Have such gases.
You do.
Coming
you
from my body. No, I mean, yeah, but you know, it's just like they're old Italian guys who sit around, they stuff themselves, they watch a game, and they're burp, burp, and they're like just kind of like natural, and everyone just like nothing.
Please don't invite me over.
No,
ever.
I won't. I don't. It's a very close-knit group.
So, and do you guys just, not to talk about this more, to extend this conversation, but does anybody say, excuse me, or do you just laugh, and it's just
it's become,
part
it's
of
become
your...
a joke. It's like, oh, who did that one? Oh, Uncle Joe did that one.
Wow.
Yeah, it's kind of gross.
That's some members of my family, and I think, you know, those of us who still have parents, we're blessed to still have parents who are alive and grandparents, you know, you go spend some time with them, extended time, and you learn about all their functions, bodily functions.
Sure, right?
And like between them, it is a joke because, you know, the one will, and the other one will say, huh? Like the one called him with that noise. Like,
yes, maybe, right. You see that there's a level of communication here.
I'm like, that is gross, really.
You call one another with a name.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah. No, yeah, exactly. That would be one for Kathy. Okay, yeah. Kathy, come on in.
That's the delicate one.
And then there's the psst.
Oh, psst.
That's a secret. Just
great a radio. Yeah. 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 And then there's the SBD.
Okay, yeah, of
right.
course. That's my mom. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have you guys seen this
I'm
commercial?
Sorry, Mom.
Have you seen this commercial where the mattress talks? And he's like, you know, I think it's the duvet cover. He's like, or something like that. He's like, you know, as the person who sits under the mattress, please take Gas-X before you go to bed.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Have you seen that? Oh, you got to see that. It's fun.
Oh, my God. There was one time, real quick, not, I swear we'll be done talking about flatulence, but one of the funniest stories ever is I had a roommate and I came home and she was sitting on the floor with a lighter and she was lighting them.
Come
oh
on,
my gosh.
Lighting them on fire. I'm like, what?
Who is this?
My roommate. When years ago.
And I thought girls don't do that stuff.
I thought it was urban legend.
I'm with you, Pam.
Oh, no, they do. Well, my brother tried doing it, but years ago when growing up and kids, I'm sure he appreciates me sharing that. But my roommate, I looked at her, I'm like, what are you doing? She didn't even ask me how my day was at work.
I just walked in.
I come back and I'm like, what are you doing? She goes, oh my God, my brother taught me this. These are so good today. Look, I can light them on fire. I'm like, what are you doing?
I like how she said today. And they're so good today.
And they're good.
Yeah, yeah. Because I guess it requires, I don't know.
Did you witness it? Did it actually flame out?
It did. And I've never laughed so hard in my life.
Does she eat certain things to ignite it?
I have no idea. I don't know. She said it's never been the same since. It was that one day that it was.
She had to take advantage of it that day.
Including your nose hairs.
Are you still friends with this person?
Yes. I just actually told the story yesterday because it was her birthday. And I talked to her on the phone yesterday. And I was like, remember that one time you were lighting them?
Oh, my God.
I know. Okay. I swear we'll
312-981-7200 is our phone number. You can text in your questions or give us a call. We want to hear about your fun Thanksgiving quirks.
Yeah, not your flatulence stories.
And if you happen to let everybody flatulate, so is that the proper word?
A lot of people have like Thanksgiving gone bad. Like,
yeah.
What kind of Thanksgiving experience did you have? Or you have to get together with family most times because sometimes you like family, sometimes you don't. Or sometimes you get into a situation where you're with a boyfriend and you're meeting family for the first time.
Awkward.
And
yeah.
Things get awkward. If you have any stories, I know, do we already have somebody?
I think we have some callers already coming in. Let's take our first call here. We have Hunter. Hey, Hunter, thanks for calling the show.
Yes. Hi, Kathy. Welcome back to the station.
Thanks. Welcome back to radio. Yay.
Radio. Yes, I have a couple of interesting stories.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to hear both?
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay, so last year I was walking in with my husband's family, and it was at night, on Thanksgiving night. And they're like, hurry, hurry, go to the back door. And I said, why? They said, the FBI is watching.
What?
Wait, you had to go around to the back door, not the front door?
no, we had to go to the back, and it was really slippery, and I couldn't understand what they're talking about. And sure enough, the FBI was apparently watching my husband's cousin because he'd been doing something bad.
What?
Wow.
So the FBI was parked out front?
On Thanksgiving night.
Right across the street from the house, and they just acted like it was no big deal, like, you know, there's the FBI, like, it's just out of the day.
Like, they're used to it? That's so
apparently
bizarre. Did you go give them some turkey and stuffing?
No, because I didn't want to slip on the ice.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you see that in the movies a lot, where, like, the bad guy will go up, hey, gang, what are you doing over here in front of our house? And, like, they'll, like, you know, try to break their chops a little bit.
I'd be talking to the cousin, like, yo, what's going on?
Yeah.
Why
is this guy Italian by chance? We're giving him an Italian accent. I mean...
No, he was not.
Did you ever find out what it was? What happened?
Yes, he was selling drugs.
Oh, okay. Awesome. It must be a family.
Yeah. It must be at a high level, too.
It's not a family show.
Wait, so what was the other story?
Oh, the other story was last year I saw my husband's cousin, and I said to his wife, good to see you again. And she said, no, you've never met me. That was his cousin's wife's sister. He had knocked up the sister.
Rewind. The same cousin?
Yeah, the cousin wife, who I thought I already met.
Okay.
Which I said, hi, good to see you again. She said, you never met me. You met my sister. I'm now pregnant with the cousin. So basically, she got knocked up by the guy, her sister's husband.
Wow.
Whoa.
Fascinating. Oh, wait a minute. God. So how did you handle
Happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, what was your response to that?
Usually I have something to say, always. But the situation, I made the face, and nobody filled me in. Everybody else knows these stories, but my husband's family refuses to give me the 411 when I walk into all these holiday events.
Maybe they do it on purpose just to see how you're going to react to everything and if you can hang with the family.
There's so many, and I always step in the driveway before we walk into the holiday. Is there anything you want to tell me?
Is there anything I should know before we walk through the door? Hey, Hunter, is this the same cousin that was getting watched by the FBI?
It's the same family, yes.
Same family, but it's a different guy. Well, mom and dad must be so proud.
Right. Totally. God, I was about to say the same thing.
Well, maybe you want to have...
I can't make this stuff up.
No. Maybe you want to have Thanksgiving at your family's house this year.
I'll pass.
So wait, with all that said, Hunter, I mean, they've got to be fun people, good people. I mean,
it's very entertaining. But you almost need flashcards or someone to role play with you before you go into the family.
Is this in Illinois? This is in Illinois?
No, this is in Indiana.
Indiana.
Okay.
Oh.
No Indiana jokes.
I will refrain.
No. Oh, my God. All right. Well, good luck this year.
Yeah, I just want to make sure this call is not being taped for quality assurance.
Yeah, no
kidding. No. It's only broadcast to a million people, but that's okay.
Right, yeah. You might want to check your rearview mirror.
Right. Wow. Hunter, have a great Thanksgiving.
Thanks. Happy Thanksgiving to you both.
All right,
thank you. Hey, folks, we want to hear some more of these fun stories. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. We'll take a quick break and take more of your calls and texts.
Aw, family! Now, come on, let's eat! Look at the food. Look at it. Wow. Don't look too close. Look at me.
Oh, God. What happened to the vegetables?
Survival of the sweetest, Dad. It's nature's way.
Well, they look great. You guys really came through. I mean, you cooked a turkey.
Woo!
All right, let's carve it. Whoa. Comes off real easy.
As it should.
Mm-hmm.
What are we listening to?
Yeah.
What is this from?
To sell your turkey?
Bob's Burgers.
Should we not eat this?
Oh, yeah. I
it's good. I like it.
We could, maybe.
Welcome back to the show, folks.
I'll eat it.
I'm Frank Montana. That's Kathy Hart. We're talking turkey tails. 312-981-7200 is our number. Text or call in. Funny text here, Kathy. 773 says, 1 year, our dog brought home an entire roasted turkey that they found cooling on a neighbor's back porch.
What?
Could you imagine?
Oh, my God, no.
And do you return it at that point?
No.
Can you let us know, 773, what you did after the dog brought it to your back porch? That's a... Because it's got to be somebody close by.
Yeah, but don't...
Do you fill in the bite marks with some, like, stuffing or something?
Oh, my God.
Say, oh, by the way... Your turkey's on my back porch. Yeah. I don't know how it got here. Oops.
Yeah, let's go to Boston Market.
That's tragic. I mean, what do you do to replace that?
Oh, you can't.
You can't.
No.
Oh, boy. Hey, Ash, what do you do for Thanksgiving? What's your kind of your round table look like?
We do a lot. We go in the morning. We go over to my dad's side of the family. Not morning, like, you know, 3 o'clock. We go over to my dad's side of the family. We eat the turkey. We do the stuff, and we do the whole nine yard.
Pretty traditional?
Yeah, very your average traditional family. It's hectic as usual. There's like 10 dogs running all over the place.
No
flatulence
contests.
Yeah, no, nothing crazy. We just chill. And then after that, we go over to my mom's side of the family to do desserts and all that kind of fun stuff. Mm. So it's like a double wham of food. And on my mom's side, they're Italian. So even though we ate at my dad's side, they're like, here's more turkey, here's more stuffing. So I feel like I add like 10 pounds. Sure. But it kind of stinks. Like, I love going to both sides of the family, but I get double wham of the, are you single? What are you up to? That whole conversation, I got to relive it twice. And it's,
every year. Yeah. So what, do you even engage in the conversation? I used to make stuff up.
I always, like, I do make stuff up. I used to when I was a little younger. Last year I did, and I was like, yeah, single.
You just appease them, right?
Chilling.
You're just like,
yeah. Like, it's just chilling. I don't have time. And then now they start trying to set me up with coworkers. Oh, so I'm always sitting there, and they're like, here's my coworker. Add him on Facebook. We can set you up. You can meet him next week. I'm like,
do any one of those ever pan out?
No, I never want to meet any of them because they're just so awkward.
Sure. Yeah.
Like, it's not really a blind date because I would know who they are, but it's just kind of like, ugh.
I mean, family knows you, so you would think you could trust them to set you up because they know you better, but then you just don't even go there.
Mm-mm. Absolutely not.
Speaking of love, a new study just came out out of Bloomberg. Modern love, the cohabitation on the rise versus actually getting married.
Okay.
So Bloomberg, living together has become more popular than marriage for young American couples, according to the Census Bureau data. 15% of people in the 25 to 34 age group shared quarters with an unmarried partner this year, up from 12% in 2008.
Shared quarters, like living quarters.
Roommates. Sorry. Roommates.
I'm like, they shared a quarter?
Yeah, like a living quarter. That's what it says, quarter.
No, I meant like a quarter, like a coin. Yeah, I'm just being really stupid.
Probably
sorry.
And it's funny because they say married young adults making earning $40,000 or more tops unmarried. This is all part of the data.
Well, it's just, I mean, even because I think we're of a different generation where it was becoming more and more common for people to cohabitate instead of getting married. And it just seems absolutely more common. If anything, it seems unusual for people to not live together before they get married.
Knowing what you know now about marriage.
Look who you're asking.
What? I know. That's why I'm asking. You did it three times?
Yep.
Didn't learn a lesson after one.
No. You know.
Would you rather have stayed knowing everything you know now, just cohabitating with somebody?
Well, you know what? Even though you live with someone, you learn a lot living with someone before you actually get married. But then I have learned in the process, there are other things that you learn about each other that it's just going to take years. And if I had anything to recommend or suggest, it would be just make sure that you guys get each other. Like, make sure you laugh at the same things, or when a situation comes up, you handle it the same way, that you just get things. And sometimes you don't figure that out until years later.
You hit the nail on the head, because what you said a second ago about years ago, it was frowned upon that you would actually move in before marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the divorce rate. It's like 60% of married couples are divorced. So would that contribute? Because your second theory is move in together first, find out about each other,
and
then
that
decide.
That doesn't necessarily work either. It helps. Yeah. I think in some situations it helps. But I think maybe, people clearly aren't going back to the old ways of doing it because it just is more common. But not living together before you get married, I think, shows a level of commitment to one another that you're in this marriage no matter what. Like, we were talking a couple weeks back with Will Smith and Jada Pinkett, that they were in it no matter what, and under no circumstances were they going to get divorced. And I think people that do not do a practice before they move in and before they get married, they might be more of the personality to commit no matter what.
I think you know, there's two schools of thought that I talk. You know, you talk to the old timers, the guys in the, you know, in the neighborhood or whatever, and that powered through life. And what I mean by that is, you know, you get married, it is what it is. You're not getting divorced. The idea of speaking about emotions and the stuff that we're talking about today with Dr. Darren, and all that information that's available spiritually for us today. It's funny because when I have conversations with old timers, they're like, this is crap. You know, like, what do you guys...
They just buried everything and suppressed it.
Powered it through. And here they are on the other side of it saying, hey, look at us. We did it. We're still married.
But are they happy?
They're freaking miserable.
That's just it. They're miserable. And yeah, life is not good. And society is changing that we've just discovered so many more things. There's science behind how our brain works.
But is it better? You know what I mean? Like, this is my point. Is it better? Because when you... You know, ignorance is bliss sometimes.
Totally.
Because when you become evolved enough to realize that you're screwed up, there's no end to it. You're constantly fixing yourself.
Everybody's broken and everybody, and it's so cliche to say that now. It seems like everybody says it, but everybody's broken and everybody has stuff from their past that's difficult to deal with. You're bringing into a relationship with baggage, some bigger bags than others. But if you... don't deal with that kind of stuff. I think individually that it's one of the things I've learned in all my relationships. If you don't deal with stuff that you've got to deal with individually first, then you're likely not going to be successful in a relationship.
Agreed.
And I finally got to a place where I figured out a lot of stuff, how I just needed to fix some things and really had to dig deep. And that was really, really hard.
So what should happen is a prerequisite where you kind of like hit the mark where I have enough self-awareness to engage in a real relationship, a real marriage. Until then, don't hit the buzzer. Just don't do it because you're not going to be ready.
Yeah.
You're only going to, if you look at the statistics, and we have to go, but if you look at the statistics, that would solve a lot, in my opinion, because mm-hmm. people jump into stuff. Love, we're soulmates.
Don't think that somebody else, this is one thing that I learned a lot, and I'm going to sound like a total therapist. Don't expect someone else to make you happy.
Never.
Because I always thought, he's going to make me happy, and this situation's going to make me happy. No, you have to make yourself happy first.
Impossible.
It's key.
All right, let's make our bosses happy and get some sponsor time in here. We're going to take a quick break, and we come back. Hamp, OB, and Kaz, we're doing a little pregame this time.
Oh, it's pregame now, yeah.
Didn't you hear?
Are they just as charged up for the pregame as they are?
We'll hear them.
Postgame?
Carmen's out there. Look at him. He's looking fly. He's got his dress shirt on. Ooh. His Sunday nice duds.
Yeah.
We'll see. We'll be right back.
Okay.
All right, that does it for us. Hamp, OB, and Kaz coming up next with Mark Carmen.